Hey, how you doing? Wade with Wade for Wireless here. And what am I talking about today? Well, I talked to somebody yesterday that is going to help out anyone who works on a tower in this way. So here's your chance to send a legitimate complaint out to the world for all to see. Here's your chance that if you run into an unsafe tower, you, the tower technician, the tower climber, the field engineer, the tower worker, the people working out at the tower sites can exert your knowledge, show some muscle, and become powerful. Pretty big introduction, huh? So anyways, I was talking to someone called Vern Fitzgerald, a really nice guy out of Utah. And what he did, he's putting together a database of unsafe towers. It was coming to him. He used to work in the industry like me. You know, I still work in the industry. I'm not sure what Vern does now, but I'll have him on the show. He agreed to let me interview him. So, nice guy, Vern. Wants to do something good out there. So what he did, he created a form, which he put out on Facebook. The links are in the blog. Or you can send him an email. His email is unsafetowers@gmail.com. And the forum, you got to read the URL. He's got a forum there. I have it in there. And I also have the Facebook page because it seems like a lot of you guys are on Facebook. You have to scroll down a little bit in the blog, but it's there. I have the forum up front and I have the email up front. So he's going to ask you guys for details and he's going to build a database around that, what the problems are. Here's why it's important. It's important because I see on Facebook all the time, this tower is not safe, I wouldn't climb this tower, I walked away from this tower. Now, let's go into some scenarios before I get into the details here. I talk to a lot of people that refuse to climb towers, and a lot of those climbers that refuse to climb because it's unsafe for one reason or another, usually their companies are behind them. I gotta tell you. When I say they're companies, you know, the tower crew owner, the foreman, whoever the lead person is, there may be arguments on the tower, but, you know, generally if two people think it's unsafe and refuse to climb, the whole crew is going to reject it. Generally. I don't know what's going on with your company. I'm just telling you the way it is. So, or what I hear, telling you what I hear. And I got to tell you, back in my day, there weren't too many things I would not climb. And that's how a lot of guys are nowadays. A lot of guys say, well, if they won't climb it, we will. Well, therein lies the problem. So one crew says it's not safe, refuses to climb. Let's say they drove 4 hours to get there. Four guys, 4 hours, 16 hours. You spend probably 2 to 3 hours on the site, and then let's say 4 hours on the way home. Four guys, 10 hours, 40 hours. That's 40 hours down the drain. For all of you mathematicians out there, that's a lot of money, 40 hours, okay? And for all you tower crew owners, that's 40 hours you're not going to get paid for, right? So you're going to go back to the turf vendor. And yeah, this time I'm going to make the evil turf vendor the bad guy. Or let's say the contractor. You know, there's all those big contractors. I was going to name names, but I won't because I'm a nice guy today, feeling good. So you lose 40 hours. What do? They call up the next Yahoo and says, here's the deal, climb tower. They don't tell them anything about you guys being there normally. So the next crew goes out there and they say, yeah, well, if we don't climb it, we're out 40 hours. So we'll climb it and we'll do the job. So they normally just find somebody else to do it, okay? It's just the reality of the situation. And then your relationship strain, chances are you don't get any future bid work. And so it has a domino effect. Because you refuse to climb it. Well, if you refuse to climb it, you probably had a good reason. Now, what Vern decided to do, since he's hearing all this, which is a great idea, he's building a database, and other people are trying to do this. It's not just Vern. People are trying to do this. Like, there's other people at other companies trying to build databases at towers, and the problem is they don't make anything public. Because you know why? Politics plays a big part. And, you know, I'm sort of glad where I'm at because I was just talking to someone the other day. Politics is huge. A lot of these people, you know, they complain about different things. Or if someone has a problem with, I'm going to just throw it out there. Some people have a problem with the way Nate does things. They're scared to say anything because, let's face it, Nate has all the power with the customers. And there's people that have problems with the way the carriers do things. Well, what are they going to do? In my case, you know, a lot of these communication climbers, that's their customer, the carriers. they can bitch all they want. What good's it do? The only thing it's going to do is strain a relationship with the carrier. Same as the turf vendors. They fight with the turf vendors. What good's it going to do? They're going to lose a customer. And that's another blog and that's another podcast. But here's my point, guys. Here's your chance to work with Vern's database. And again, the links are in the blog. My blog at two places, wadesarver.com/podcast or wadeforwireless.com. I put it at two places to make it easy. I'll get into that later. But anyways, I want you to understand this database is built up so you guys can have a public forum to bring up unsafe towers. And here's the thought process. The thought process is you have these unsafe towers, and we can document it to let everybody know why it's unsafe. So for all you guys that just have a personal vendetta against somebody and are going to say, this tower's unsafe, or just send a picture, it's not good enough. First, the reason he's doing this is because the tower owners and the customers, the end customer, whoever it is, whether it be a carrier or whatever, they can understand that there are unsafe towers. So, and it's going to be more work for site acquisition people. Trust me, site act people always seem to lose in this. And any of you that don't respect site acquisition people, let me tell you, they work hard. Here's why. They have to find the tower site. They have to find the location. They have to find the height. That's the easy part. I know you look at a database. You know they use Google Earth a lot. They have to make sure the coverage works. They have to go back and forth with the RF engineer because they'll probably do some type of prop study to make sure it's going to cover the way they want to cover if it's a new tower. Now we're pretty populated and saturated, so a lot of these carriers use the same towers they had. Now it's just a matter of negotiating leases. But that's, believe it or not, they probably enjoy that part of the job. Permitting. Permitting is a nightmare. The feds, CTIA has done a lot to change permitting. It's a nightmare. I'm telling you, it's grueling. You're not dealing with one entity. It's not like a Crown Castle, American Tower, SBA, whoever you have your tower lease with. You can deal with them for 1,000 towers. Permitting, you can be in one county and deal with 20 different townships. Trust me, I've been there. Every township does things different. Some townships are great. You submit the paperwork. You pay the whatever the fee is. You're done. Others have a meeting once a month. They may shelf your all your paperwork for another month. Some people just hate towers. And even though there's already a tower there, they don't want anything more on the tower because it takes away from what they consider beautiful scenery. And I think it's great that people are passionate about all that and everything. But come on, there comes a point when, if they don't want towers up and they complain about cell coverage, there's an issue. All right, I'm rolling it back, back to the database. Unsafe towers. We're building this database so everyone can see. So perhaps a tower owner, say an American Tower or a Crown Castle that has thousands upon thousands of towers, maybe they don't realize because I think they're to the point where they just don't. American Tower especially, I know they don't visit every tower every year. They were trying to visit them every 6 months, but if they don't have lights, they probably don't visit them. And a lot of tower companies are like that. I get it. They should maintain it. I think they should inspect it at least once a year, but it becomes a financial issue. So with all that said, they may not realize it's unsafe, but if you document it and we put it out there for the public to see, maybe then the site act people, the tower owners, and the customer can see that these towers aren't safe and they'll stop loading them up. Or maybe the tower owner will take corrective action. Because when these people complain about these towers, let's say a crew goes out to hang for AT&T. Let's say they're hanging, those 20 RRHs that they need up there along with the antennas and everything else, putting another 7,000 pounds on the tower. If they see it's not safe and they know it's going to be a problem, well, then they'll do something about it. Now, with that said, AT&T is doing structurals on all their towers, which cost a fortune. So kudos to them because that's what has to be done for this. So that's why they're taking that build nice and slow. But when they're putting all this weight in the tower, if there's something that's not kosher with it or you see something on the tower that's not... excuse me, guys. Oh, I had to get a drink. So if they see there's a problem with the tower, then they're going to know that they have to do something about it. Now, I'm not saying, site act people aren't going to be able to look at this database for everything, but if it pops up, it pops up. And you, being the tower climber, have a chance to complain. Now, here's the deal. Here's where your responsibility lies. You, the tower climber, you, the tower worker, you, the field engineer, and this is telecom technicians too. Well, let's say wireless telecom technicians that do work out at a tower. If you see something that's not safe, what Vern's already run into, and he just started this, people just send in a picture of the tower. And we don't want to play 20 questions here, okay? So someone sends in a picture. Vern gets back to him and says, you know, what? It's a monopole. And the guy says, well, look, it's overloaded. He goes, well, do you know it's overloaded? Did you see the structural? So here's where you guys have to vet your own work. What you have to do is due diligence. If you're going to say a tower is overloaded, let's have some facts to back it up, okay? If you just look at it and say, well, look, it's overloaded. You know, I could say that about every not every monopole, but a majority of the monopoles I looked at. But what you have to do is have some facts to back it up. You can't just say it's overloaded and think you've done your job. If you've seen towers like that before that were overloaded and you looked at the structural, it's a problem. If you look at the structural and see it's right on the edge, maybe then you can do some due diligence, do some research, and see if it's going to stand up to any ice loading that is expected in that area, if you're in an ice area, or any wind loading that is in that area. And believe me, wind loading is different all over the U.S., and I think it's actually gotten worse in the past year. I think they actually raised the ratings for a lot of the towers in the past several years, and I just don't remember anymore. But I remember they had wind rating for each area of the country, and they had a rain rating and so on. So anyway, my point is, you can't just call in and complain. You can't just call in and bitch, okay? You can't just, because you're mad at some tower owner, you can't just call and complain. If there's a safety issue, document with the safety issue. If you have a picture for it, awesome. Put the picture in there. I think you'll have to send an email in for the picture. Or explain exactly what it is. And don't just say, the tower is not safe to climb. You understand me? Say, the tower is not safe to climb because, and explain why it's not safe to climb. There aren't enough tie-off points. The safety climb's broke. When I go up the monopole, the holes through the monopole are not aligned with the climbing pegs, and I have to dangle to get 6 foot to the left, and I've climbed towers like that, fellas. It's just the way it is. You tie off a lot. And then after you're up on the platform, you get through the hole, you have to reach down under to undo your clips for your safety lanyards. But anyway, my point is that, sorry, I got distracted for a second. But my point is, you have to have details. You have to explain in detail. You can't just say it's unsafe to climb. If you say it's unsafe to climb because the safety climb's broken, it's been broke for a while, and the tower owner knows about it, and they haven't done anything about it, well, then you have a legitimate complaint. If it's unsafe to climb because you're on a monopole and the pegs are broken, and I'm tired of wrapping straps around to make that the last 10 feet, you know, if it's unsafe to climb because the tie-off points aren't set proper or something's wrong, you know, my point is you got to have detail. You got to do your own due diligence. If you say it's unsafe to climb because it's overloaded, just explain, if you have the experience, say, well, I've seen towers like this come down in the past because they're overloaded. It's this type of tower. It's in this region. The winds are X. The ice is Y. And I see it as a threat. Be specific. Okay? When you refuse to climb a tower, chances are there's something seriously wrong with that tower that you can pinpoint is wrong. So here's your chance. If you refuse to do a climb, here is your chance to document it. Here is your chance to have a say. And it's something that I don't want you to take lightly, because if Vern gets a lot of, and I know he will because I know what I get back. So if Vern gets a lot of crap, he's got to vet it all, okay? I mean, it's not going to be just something that he can do quickly. He's going to have to read each one, look at the legitimacy before he publishes it. Because if he publishes something that's crap, you know, it's going to take away from his credibility. And that's one thing he doesn't want to lose. And I talked to Vern at length yesterday. Really nice guy. And he's really doing this for the good of the industry. Really is. So here's your chance to help him. And what the hope is, the reason we want to keep it legitimate, the reason we want to maintain credibility, not only for you, the climber, but for the whole database, because we want to really help OSHA identify tower problems. Because one of the things that OSHA does, and you guys know this, when they go out there, all they can really do is look at what the climber has done, what the climber's tools were, and basically any safety issues they see at that moment on that tower. So that's why that broad range of problems becomes narrower and narrower and narrower, and pretty much all you see in the bullseye is the climber. And a lot of you guys can pick apart what a climber what he does or does not do after the fact, okay? The point is, the guy got hurt, if the guy fell, if the guy's dangling, something went wrong. Could have been stupidity. Could have been just, you know, poor calculation. You know, things happen. Mistakes happen. Accidents happen. Sometimes we're in a hurry, we make a mistake. You know, it happens. We're humans, all right? Sometimes there's other things at play. For instance, if someone walked away from a tower because it's unsafe, the next crew comes out and something bad happens, we really have to look at what's going on out there, okay? So I think this is a great way to get some of the liability off the climber if the tower is unsafe. But with that said, if you had two crews walk away from the tower and the third crew does it and something bad happens, you really got to think about, why did that something bad happen? Did this crew have poor judgment? Did they not understand hazard assessment? Are they inexperienced? Do they really need the money? Maybe their company really needs the money, but that should not play a factor when it comes to someone's life, okay? However, I know you guys play with that balance all the time. It's a dangerous job. Dangerous job, and probably the lowest paid job in wireless, it feels like sometimes anyway. That's why I do this, because it's really not fair. Anyway, let's get back to the database here. So if we can create awareness about the towers that have problems and point it out not only to the industry, meaning the tower owners, maybe other climbers, people that would respect the database, and maybe OSHA would start to use something like this, because they would realize that towers aren't safe. And, we give OSHA a hard time because we report things, and OSHA, they have to deal with facts. Now, with that said, I talked to one guy that had video of climbers who were climbing unsafe, and OSHA just, they for whatever reason, they didn't want to deal with it. I'm not sure why. A guy was upset over it. And maybe because they're just shorthanded. You know, they got a billion things to do. You know, when we think of the Department of Labor, that's really how we should think of OSHA, because the Department of Labor looks at all work in the U.S. And I was talking to someone the other day about all the fall deaths, falls are number one. I already published that in a couple posts. Falls are the number one cause of death. Whether they be falls from a ladder, falls from steps, falls inside a grain elevator, falls down steps, or falls from a tower. It's the number one reason for death in the workplace today. And a lot of people die in the workplace in the U.S. A lot of people. I think they just released is like over 400,000 people, something like that, died in the U.S. this year. I'd have to look that up. But I just saw something. There's a lot of people that died. And out of those, the number one cause of death were falls. Now, with that, they also count deaths like heart attacks, and then you have chemical inhalation, things like that. And there's always something that skews it. But anyway, my point is, let's get back. I'm sorry, guys, I go off on these tangents. But unsafe tower database, I think, is a great idea. And I applaud Vern for coming up with it. I know a lot of people out there are trying to do their own database. There's a lot of safety guys trying to track what towers are safe and unsafe so they can keep an eye on them. The problem is, a lot of those guys, you know, when you're in a bigger company, it may not filter through the company. Trust me, I know. I work for big companies. It's hard to get the information from point A to point B, because when you have a big company, it's like a ship. When you steer a ship, there is no such thing as a 90-degree turn, you know. When you steer a ship, you have to calculate where you're going to go, where you want to be, at what time. You steer it, and it slowly turns, you know, the rudder turns, and it's not quick. Whereas on a boat, you know, you can steer it pretty quick and hope it doesn't tip. You know, you have a lot of control in a boat, because what is it? One, two guys, you know, commanding the boat. So it's the same way with the industry. We're steering a ship here. So we have to start by building this database. It's a great place to start. I applaud Vern for doing it. It's something that if we can maintain its legitimacy and its credibility will be doing okay. So when you guys report to Vern, I would have facts, and if it's your opinion, just put in there, this is my opinion, here's why it's not safe to climb, and then just list your reasons. You can't just tell them it's not safe, here's the tower, blah, blah, blah. You have to say it's not safe because of this reason, reason one, reason two, reason three, reason four, and that's going to really, that's when he's going to add it into the database, when he has those reasons. So, and like a ship, you won't see the effects of this right away. It's going to take time to build the database. It's going to take time to put the stuff out there. It's going to take time till people recognize it as a legitimate form of documentation for unsafe towers. So that's what we're looking for. It takes time to put this together. It's not something that you can just throw together and then just whip out there quickly, you know. It's something that he has to put together, research, make sure it's he has all the information. Also, when you put the information in, make sure you have the address, the coordinates, the height of the tower, type of tower. And he has a lot of the information on his form, but just be prepared to enter all that, you know. I think the type of tower is obvious. Self-supporter, monopole, guide tower, building top tower, things like that. And if it's unsafe, I'm sure you have a reason for it being unsafe. If you have the coordinates, great. If you know the tower owner, great. You know, a lot of the towers are consolidated now, so it's, chances are in one of the big companies. Not always, but chances are good. And it's just a way for us to show that we are keeping track of what towers have problems. Eventually, it's going to come back to one of those things where the turf vendors are going to have to pay attention to this. So if somebody refuses to climb a tower and they look on this database, and they see that someone else refused to climb and someone else refused to climb, and if they just find another climber and they don't tell them about it, the fault could lay in two places. The turf vendor could be at fault because they sent someone out to a tower they know is unsafe, which they're doing now. Or the fault could be on the tower company for not looking at the database in the first place. So, I mean, it's one more thing to worry about, but I just think it's a good thing. Just giving you guys another tool in your toolbox. Like I said about OSHA, wouldn't it be great if OSHA would start looking at this? Like when they did their research, it'd give them one more tool in their toolbox. They would know that the tower wasn't safe for whatever reason, and maybe this particular crew didn't know about it. When a carrier does a build out, or someone does a build out, and someone they go in a particular tower, and someone says, "Well, we can't find anyone to climb on that tower." They can look in the database and see why. I just think it's a good thing. So, well, that's it for the tower database. But I have one more thing, guys. I'm going to put some rigging videos at the end of this. And the reason for these videos are more instructive. The whole idea of the instruction, if you're still listening, if you didn't fall asleep by now, a lot of you tower climbers get out there and you say, "There's no information. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that." Well, here's a chance for you to learn. If you want to learn knots, YouTube is the second largest search engine on the internet, number two next to Google, and Google owns both. So, at least it is right now. I may change with something else, but YouTube's a great source of information. It's a great way to learn. You can learn anything on it, you know, anything from plumbing to electrical to knots. It's a great place to search knots as well. I know I bring up other knot websites, but if you want to see how it's done in a video by somebody, you can search knots out there too. I had some videos on knots in the past, but today I want to talk about rigging. With rigging, it's mostly cranes, but it still applies, fellas. The formulas are the same. So if you're going to do rigging and you want to learn about it, just take some time and go out on YouTube and search. I'm going to throw some videos in here just to help you guys out. Get you started. Once you call up these videos, you'll see more. You know, it automatically searches for more rigging videos, and there's playlists you can get in for rigging. Not everything's your cup of tea, you know. Some things are these guys putting together the huge cranes, but other ones are instructive and talk about the formulas, and it's a good place to start. You know, OSHA's setting the guidelines for us to, not OSHA, the Department of Labor and the FCC are setting guidelines for us to follow as far as tower work. And one of the things that's going to really help you out is you have to learn about this stuff. If you want to get a leg up on your training, you could start with YouTube and start there. It's a great place to start your research and learn about this stuff. Throwing it out there, because so many times these guys get in these jobs and they just think there's nothing else out there. What I'm trying to do is get you guys to open up your eyes that it's a career path that you may or may not want to follow. There's other options out there. So take a look at the videos. If you like them, great. Let me know. If you don't like them, well, then let me know that too. And I know a lot of guys won't like them just because they don't want to get into it, or they look at it as the crane operators should do that. Crane operators operating the crane. Whether you're working at a tower pulling stuff up or whether you're just helping out a tower crew, it's one of those things that would just be good to know. It's good to expand your horizons. It's good to educate. The more you know, the better you are, the more valuable you are to your company, especially when you can use it on your job. All right. I want to talk about one other thing, and this is the last thing I'll rant on, but I always talk about make a plan. And for some reason, I get feedback that confuses people. And I for the love of God, I don't understand why, because when you go out there, if you're at a site and you don't come up with a plan or have a plan for what you're going to do, I mean, what are you doing? You're just going to swing something up and get it up there? The whole idea is make a plan for what your plan of action is, and then you can change it, you know. Adapt, improvise, and overcome. You know, that saying is there for a purpose. You're going to make a plan. Then you're going to adapt the plan to where you're at. Let's say something changes or something didn't work out the way you thought it was. You're going to improvise. And then when you overcome is when you complete the task. I mean, I can break that down into almost everything I do. Just because you have a plan in the beginning doesn't mean it's a perfect plan. You may have to modify the plan. But a plan is a plan. It sets you in the right direction, sets you in action. And let's say the foreman came up with a plan, or the construction manager, or whoever's leading the job. If they came up with a plan, then you can alter the plan. You can make suggestions. If something's in the air and suddenly it isn't working the way you thought it was, I'm going to use an example. Let's say you're pulling up a 10-foot dish, or let's say you're pulling up an LTE array that was assembled on the ground. And all of a sudden something's in the way. There's another dish in the way. There's another cell array in the way. And the tagline's not working the way you think it is. You're going to come up with a plan to change that. You're either going to lower it back to the ground, pull it up on another section of the tower, which sucks, but sometimes you have to do it. Or you're going to find another way to tag it and pull it out. Or you're going to put guys on the tower to push it out and around where you want to get, which, sometimes you have to do that. So you improvise. You adapt. And then when you have it hung in the air and it's completed, you've overcome. So when I say make a plan, if that confuses you, you need to understand what the plan is. If you're just going out to the site and you're not following the plan, or you don't know the plan, if you're just going to get up in the air and do the work, which I've done, you get up there and you wait to be told what to do, that's fine. But you have to realize somebody's making a plan. Somebody's planning somewhere. And the planning is a good thing to learn. Trust me, people, because the planning, you can hold it down to just the job at the tower site. You can expand it to where you're planning out all your jobs, all the towers, all the work, where you're planning the orders coming in. You got to plan the bill of materials, what's ready, what's not ready. You have to plan out your sites by geography, but not only by geography, but by the parts that are available, by the manpower that's available, and by weather. Weather plays a huge part. I've done a lot of work in the rain, but you still got to look at the wind. You got to look at a lot of factors that can affect it. I've seen jobs called on account of high winds, especially near the ocean. And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because if you're confused about the plan, then you're not making the plan, but you should be in on the plan. So if you don't know the plan, maybe you should spend a little more time paying attention in that tailgate meeting. Plans are the plan of action is important. That is how we maintain safety. At the tailgate meeting, you should not only have the plan of action. Like I said, you should know where the safety kits are, where the trauma kits are. You should know where the tools are. You should know what you need to know. You should know the hazard assessment for the area. That's all part of the plan, is to avoid any hazards, is to know where the safety kit's at in case something does happen. All part of the plan, people. So, all right, that's enough for one day. I hope you guys are safe. I hope you're smart. And I hope you pay attention to what you're doing at the time. If you have a plan, follow the plan. Adapt. Don't be afraid to change a plan. It's not set in stone. And I want you to make sure all you guys arrive alive when you get home at night. Remember, no matter what you're doing, your family's more important. You may not feel that way sometimes, but it really is. And also, look out for your crewmates. When you're with your workmates, they're the guys that are your family on the site. Love them, hate them. Just think of your own family. You probably have people in your own family you love and you hate. But you still got to live with them. You still got to work with them. And I'm sure even people you don't like, I'm sure they have strengths that you find valuable in the job site. If you don't, then why are they still working there? You know. All right, guys. Be safe. Be smart. Pay attention. And take care.